The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Halloween is just around the corner, so visit BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Bath-O-Lantern Pumpkin Shea Butter Soap. So good, you'll want to eat it. Their jack-o'-lantern soap is colored and scented with real pumpkin, with the added punch of clove essential oil to make it pumpkin pie-y. Shea butter makes it extra luxurious, only $6 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Wow! Powerful, horrible, today! Obamacare, hates law, strangles, unleashed, booming, Reagan!
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Trying to sweep the poor little widow under the carpet? Well, think again. I'm on the board of directors of this lousy company.
Well, we assumed that with your husband gone, you would no longer want to be on the board.
Al and I helped build Pepsi to what it is today. I intend to stay with it.
We appreciate your devotion and contribution, Miss Crawford. But we have retired you from the board of directors.
You drove Al Steele to his grave, and now you're trying to stab me in the back? Forget it! I fought worse monsters than you for years in Hollywood. I know how to win the hard way.
Miss Crawford, we don't want any hard feelings.
You don't know what hard feelings are until I come out publicly against your product and you'll see how much you sell.
Please, Miss Crawford, it's hardly necessary to make threats you surely don't mean.
Don't f*** with me, fellas! This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
Obamacare, hates law, strangles, unleashed, booming, Reagan.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Tuesday, October 6, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska, that is Chez Pazienza, sitting right there.
Hola.
Hi. Brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best goddamn soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Best lawyer ever. By the way, you can get free legal advice at thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or just click the link on the podcast page. Can't miss it. Oh, as always, big thanks to our affiliates, thehuffingtonpost.com, SoundCloud, iTunes, littlegreenfootballs.com, patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Throw that in there. And make sure to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Bob and Chez. Thank you very much. Okay. So, Barack Obama is going to Oregon. And he's going to Oregon because...
I heard this.
There was a gun massacre in Oregon. I don't know if you're familiar with that news story, Chez, but sometime last week, someone went into a community college and shot a bunch of people.
What's a gun?
It's a gun. Yeah, it's with a gun.
I'm unaware of that. I don't know what a gun is.
Yeah. And so now... The Republicans want to basically ban Obama from going to Oregon. Because having complete control over the gun control debate isn't enough for the Republicans. What they want to do now is make sure they dictate whether or not President Obama goes to a place where people were shot and killed in cold blood on a college campus. God forbid. The president actually do something like that. So he must be stopped. Pamela Geller tweeted, Obama not welcome in Roseburg. Visit would be, quote, very inappropriate after he politicized shooting. And then all kinds of people joined in on Pamela Geller's Twitter feed and on her Facebook.
All this is this. Do you remember how many years ago was it? It seems like forever we've been dealing with this insanity.
Yeah.
That, and if I get the story partially wrong, I apologize. Wasn't there a time when Obama wanted to give a speech to America's school kids via, like, you know, via satellite or something? You know, they put a TV in the classroom and he talks to all of them. Yeah. And there were these Republicans saying that he was trying to indoctrinate them and that schools shouldn't carry it.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time I wrote, this is all part of the delegitimization of Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, he's not the real president. He's not allowed to do the things that presidents have done for ages.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's
go to places where tragedies happen.
Read teleprompters, right? He can't do that either. Can't fly on Marine One. Can't put his feet on the Resolute desk. Can't walk around the Oval Office without his jacket on.
Right. Exactly.
You know, can't have czars, for God's sake. Which, I mean, effing Reagan had czars. None of this stuff is appropriate for the president to do, says the Republican. Here's some comments from Pamela Geller. I mean, Pamela Geller, far, far right-wing nut job. Here's some of the comments.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Pamela Geller's a fucking whack job.
She is a whack job. But, I mean, this is the broader Republican Party is doing this. And there's just everyone's going nuts on Twitter and on Facebook saying there's no way, no. President Obama shouldn't go to Oregon. Fox News Channel has been all over this, too. But listen to some of these comments. The fake Christian hack atheist fraud is oh so concerned with gun violence, but not a word about what he supports. Child slaughter in the WAB. WAB?
In the what?
I don't know what that... I'm assuming it's child slaughter in the womb, but came out in the WOB, ABO. Someone else said, can you please stop posting pictures of this Satan Obambo? Otherwise, I will have to urinate on my computer screen. You know what? If I could get trolls to urinate on their computer screen, that'd be the ultimate thing ever.
Try urinating directly into a light socket.
I'm going to work on that. I'm going to try to incite trolls to the point where they want to urinate on their computer screen. Because nothing would be more excellent than to find out that they've urinated on their computer screen and either electrocuted themselves or destroyed their computer. That would be the ultimate comeuppance. On the right-wing blog Weasel Zippers, people were commenting, this is my favorite one, didn't cunt boy get the memo? You're not welcome here, you fucking ass-lifting, shit-stained motherfucker. Die, you fucking sucker. Just fucking die.
Are you really going to be able to bleep all that?
I think so. It's going to take a couple hours, but I think I'll get all of it. I'd like to shove that selfie stick up his scrawny ass. You know, that's a common theme when people go after Obama, is they go with the fact that he's thin.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what. It's like they're really, really stretching, and they have since 2008, since
because
the 2008
they want,
campaign.
They want President Camacho.
Yeah, exactly. They want President Camacho, or they want President Chris Christie. They want someone.
They want President Rambo. They want, you know, the big, I'm American.
Well, more importantly, what they don't want is they don't want gay Obama. That's right, what they're basically saying. This is all code.
Obama's an effete, you know, elitist.
Yeah, it's like saying San Francisco values. We know what you're talking about when you say San Francisco values.
Gay.
Totally gay. When you say President Obama's skinny and slight and that he likes gherkins in his fucking egg salad. Remember, Michelle Malkin made a big deal about the fact that Obama's egg salad recipe included gherkins. This is what she went batshit over.
Yeah.
Back
in
2000.
He likes arugula on
he
a
likes,
sandwich.
He likes arugula.
That's another one? Yeah. Oh, arugula. What a f***it. Real men like iceberg lettuce.
Someone else writes here, any of the victims' families that meet with this scumbag would no longer have my sympathy. If this American town wants to honor their dead, have a huge rally with signs and loudspeakers telling the scumbag to go home to Kenya! To Kenya. Still f***ing that chicken.
This is why we need to burn the internet to the ground.
Bring back the gatekeepers.
Oh, this one writes, and I'm going to just say the name of this person right off the bat because, I think it's
it's technically not, you know, it's in no way blocking your free speech rights.
No.
You can say whatever you want. You just shouldn't have the right to get online and say it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have, that tool should be a privilege, not a right.
Well, just so you know, the person who wrote the boy comment, he goes by the handle Ken H because he's... He has to use a pseudonym or an abbreviation of his name because he doesn't have the courage of his convictions. Yeah. So he's hiding behind that. Nice guy. Dappendico is the guy who wrote the one, this one. Good timing, Barry. Deer season started on October 3rd. So that's get what he's saying. He's saying deer season, hunting. They're going to hunt, yeah. Hunt Barry, Barack Obama, the president. That'd be Dappendico, Dappandico. And he happens to be a moderator on wherever this forum is, this forum on Weasel Zippers. So that's a moderator.
Yeah, but dude, you're reaching into the bowels of the asshole internet.
I know. Let's see what else here. Let's see, what other gems can we dig up here? Oh, Mr. Peabody says, my first reaction is, I hope they throw rocks at him. And then someone else replies, buckets of urine and feces.
I hope they throw rocks, buckets of urine, and feces at the President of the United States.
And then someone else types in.
No matter how much I didn't like George Bush,
mm-hmm.
I was always somewhat respectful.
Oh, yeah.
At least in terms of what the office was.
Someone else types here, I don't know what that, I guess the PPPHTT is. So much Secret Service, no one can even get close to
the cat.
Right. So much Secret Service, no one can even get close to that fecker, they say. Fecker.
Nice.
If just this once they would honor their oath to be to the Constitution and duck, referring to the Secret Service. That would be Bacco Kitty. Right. Lots of assassination fantasies. Let's absolutely make sure the President of the United States is assassinated because of American exceptionalism. We're patriotic Americans and, well, take your best shot at the President. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to us. So of course he's gonna go to Oregon and he's gonna speak at Roseburg and that's that. And you can have your little conniption fits and your little assassination fantasies all you want. But the president is gonna do what presidents do. Here's Howard Hyman writes, the Muslim monkey occupant of our White House ignores that the first person to be gunned down, killed, was the Jewish professor Larry Levine. The killer went on to murder Christians, murdering Jews and Christians, just like the Muslims. These tactics are out of the murder playbook of Obama's God, Mohammed. Mohammed spelled here M-O-H-A-M-M-I-D. Mohammed inspired the Nazis. Obama blames guns when he should be blaming Muslim hatred for Jews and Christians. And then after saying all of that, after calling the president a Muslim monkey.
Tell me he signs it with namaste.
No, he actually censored the word God. He writes G-D, damn Obama.
He's Jewish.
His Muslims are the real killers and inspiration for the murderer.
I don't know what the rule is for people who are practicing Jews that they're supposedly not supposed to say the name of God.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean,
or whatever.
When I went to Catholic school, I mean, it was a detention worthy crime to say God. We had to say gosh in Catholic school. But so I mean, it could be anybody. But boy, they really are making sure they're. They're balancing out their censorship. It's okay. It's okay to call the President of the United States a Muslim monkey, but it's not okay to say goddamn, even though you know exactly what the guy's saying.
Yeah.
Effing stupid. Okay, we've got a big show ahead today. We want to talk about Keith Olbermann, more rumors about Olbermann possibly being rehired at MSNBC, and we want to get to that. Ben Carson has been on the rampage. Ben Mentum is firing up the globe. He's talking crazy about guns. He's talking crazy about guns this week. Lots of crazy statements from Ben Carson about gun control and about the shooting in Oregon. I want to spend a second talking about Joe Biden. Evidently, Joe Biden is supposed to announce at some time Some either he's not going to run or he's going to run, and that announcement is supposed to come sometime within the next week. It has to happen now, and it has to be, no, I'm not going to run. Well, we'll cover that in a little bit.
It doesn't matter. The world's going to end tomorrow anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're going to be annihilated by fire.
World is ending tomorrow. Get ready. I'm sorry to announce this is our last show. If it's going to be our last show because the world is ending on Wednesday, I just have to play this one more time.
Let's win this thing.
We demand a man who speaks his mind.
Jesse!
Jesse! I don't have any actual Jesse Ventura audio. If it's our last show, I wanted to play the Jesse Ventura jingle just one last time.
That's actually going to be the thing that causes the annihilation.
Be thermite.
God, he's had enough of that.
The world will be doused in thermite paint.
Right. That's right. And the few remaining, in the last split second before the whole world just explodes, there will be people saying, "None of this is happening. It's all false flag." I'm an Armageddon truther.
The folks at DARPA have figured out a way to douse the world in thermite paint and bring about the Armageddon. Okay. I want to clarify something about the Speaker of the House. Just as a brief political thing. That'll be coming up later. Lindsey Graham in the news, plus Carly Fiorina and Bobby Jindal and a whole lot more. Maybe we'll get to the goat sacrifice guy, but somebody tells me that's going to end up on the postmortem show. We're going to take a short break and come back with more of the show this week right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Bob and Chez Show.
Oh, hi. Greetings. Hello. Welcome to our Tuesday show. Okay, let's dive in. We got a lot of things to cover this week, so let's not waste any more time. So, I think you wrote about it today for the Daily Banter. I wrote about it today for Addicting Info. Keith Olbermann is in the news again. And it's a very minor rumor, but it's everywhere right now. Everyone's talking about this meeting that's allegedly going to occur between Andy Lack, the head of NBC News, and Keith Olbermann about 8 p.m. on MSNBC. Yeah. And I think it's only good news. I mean, I don't think that Keith Olbermann's going to come along and save the network. I think that's not his responsibility. But I think and we've talked about this on the show before, what the network is in desperate need of is that primetime heft, the primetime broadcast veteran anchor.
They can't keep Chris Hayes in the 8 o'clock position anymore.
No,
they just can't.
No,
that's prime real estate, and it can't go to somebody. And that's what sets the tone for the rest of primetime, and that cannot be in the hands of somebody who is weak.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying I don't like Chris Hayes. He's a great guy, very smart guy, and his show is really interesting at times. But yeah, you need somebody there with who's just got a hell of a lot of power.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Chris Hayes has some heft, but Keith Olbermann has a lot more heft. That's just the way it goes. And I think the format of the show is appropriate to what MSNBC ought to be doing. At least going back to the way Olbermann used to run Countdown. Right. Which was always with, and this is before he went off the rails with doing a special comment every 5 minutes and doing the Fridays with goddamn Thurber, which was stupid and self-indulgent. Before that, he always led with a wink and a nod. We always led with some sort of humorous take. It was always, to me, it was always comedy first in a way. And or at least there was always that tone. I don't know if it was first, but there was always that tone. And I think that's what the left does best. That's what the left has that conservatives don't have. Liberals can do comedy. Liberals can be funny. Why are we burying that? Why are we running away from that? Whether that's at the activist level or that's at the broadcast level or and all points in between. Why so serious?
You know. Very clever.
Where did I come up with that?
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree completely. We've talked about this before. I mean, the most powerful liberal or left-leaning shows are the ones that are comedic. Mm-hmm. You know, the guys like John Oliver and Jon Stewart. I mean, these people are titans for smart liberalism.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, and that's what's great about them. That's what's absolutely fantastic about them. And MSNBC should absolutely be taking some cues from them.
Yeah,
the way they do their shows.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just enough to create a left-leaning version of Fox News Channel. We've gone over this a million times. You have to change the format. You have to present this information. You have to present, if you're going to do punditry, at least do it in a way that's accessible to the left, that makes that broadcast appointment viewing for liberals. And it's just nothing they do right now, save for maybe, you know, a small cross-section of the left internet watching MSNBC, whether it's at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, depending on which show it is, Hayes, Maddow, O'Donnell. No one's watching before that. No one on the left is really paying attention. Right now, it's a network that's entirely geared toward, you know, D.C. insiders.
Yeah.
At least for now, 4 hours in the morning on Morning Joe. And then the rest of the day is filler. It's like the cereal part of Lucky Charms. Like, no one gives a shit about the cereal part of Lucky Charms. Everyone wants the marshmallows. Well, they're giving us a lot of cereal and not enough marshmallows.
And I like the cereal.
You like the cereal part? You're the one person.
I'm the one person.
Who likes the cereal part of Lucky Charms?
I do.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, there's just... They're...
Fuck those green clovers.
I don't know who they're programming to. Honest to God, I don't know who MSNBC is programming to right now.
Well, MS has always been over a barrel. And certainly, they really, really gave them a lot of latitude for quite a while to go liberal. But the thing you have to keep in mind, and this is the kind of thing that you see. You see this whenever, like when MSNBC tweets something out and Reince Priebus has a complete meltdown and then they have to apologize and fire somebody.
Yeah.
MSNBC is still attached and still beholden to the views and the reputation of the NBC mothership.
Mm-hmm.
And so unlike a Fox that can just do whatever the hell it wants and can, you know, bully without any kind of concern for who it pisses off, MS has to sort of be – MS is constrained. And that's a really crappy tightrope to have to walk.
Yeah.
But Andy Lack is the head of NBC News now, and he was a god in the 90s. A very, very smart guy. He brought NBC back from the brink and made it just absolutely powerful as hell back in the 90s. You know, when I was working for it, it was a gargantuan. It was a behemoth. And I believe he can do it again. I think he's a very, very, very smart guy. And he has a thing where he likes, you know, he likes Brian Williams. He likes the sort of old-style news anchor, and he really, really has – I don't want to say he plays favorites, but he definitely has the people he likes that he will get behind. And if he does, then that's it. You know, if mm-hmm. Olbermann is one of them, then Olbermann's in. And I wouldn't be surprised if he is, because Olbermann has a proven track record at NBC, and he obviously is a brilliant broadcaster. He's a melodramatic, neurotic pain in the ass, arrogant pain in the ass,
yeah.
But he's still a great broadcaster.
Exactly. But if he enters into it – with his eyes open, and if MSN enters into it with their eyes open, then it'll be great. Because everyone knows what they're getting with Keith Olbermann, and Keith Olbermann should know what he's getting from MSNBC and NBC News. There should be no surprises this time around.
Andy Lack is a really good salesman. He's really good at telling talent, you know, okay, I'm backing you. I got this. You know what? You're going to get this and this and this, and we're behind you all the way.
Yeah.
And not coming off like somebody who's just bullshitting you into oblivion.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is that Andy Lack needs Keith Olbermann. If he wants to turn MSNBC around, I don't see how else he can do it other than completely gutting the whole thing.
Yeah.
What Keith Olbermann will do is bring in this level of excitement, whether it's just outraging the Republicans, which is great. For once, you know, Keith Olbermann will be a guy on cable news that will crawl up the asses of everyone on Fox News Channel, one, and just the broader conservative entertainment complex. It'll just be a thorn in their side. And for once, I'd love to see the left, instead of being reactionary to what the right's doing, to actually take the initiative and do something. It was like, you know what? I was thinking about this. Like, for God's sake, it's about goddamn time. The left stopped screwing around, reacting to just whatever crazy shit that the Republicans say. And actually, I mean, we don't have to say the same crazy shit, but we should say something that seizes the initiative on an issue. It's like going back to toot my own horn, which I never do on this show, ever. We never brag about ourselves on this show. But I remember back after Sandy Hook, I wrote a piece in the Daily Banter that was like, you know what? I entered into it like this. I am so tired of half measures and dancing around the issue. Well, maybe we can do some background checks and maybe expand and do gun safety and do all this dancing around the issue. You know what? I said, F it. Repeal the goddamn Second Amendment. And then we start there. We start the conversation from a position of strength. Say, repeal the goddamn thing. It's nothing but a pain in the ass. Although the well-regulated militia part of it makes it pretty clear to me. But since it is so archaic, why are we even trying to interpret it? Why don't we just repeal the thing, write something new, add new wording to it or something, and then that becomes the argument. Not like it's ever going to happen. It'll never happen.
Yeah.
But at least it's starting the argument by seizing the initiative in the debate.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than doing what we're going to do later in the show, which is commenting upon all the crazy things that Ben Carson said about gun control.
Right. When you're negotiating, you start big and then you pare it down and meet in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. And there are some occasions and some national needs that demand that. I think the left forgets how to do it. We're so busy. We were talking before the show. I don't want to talk about the actual issue itself, but we were talking on the show about the latest Twitter jihad against someone.
Yeah.
Or against a group of people or one person.
Yeah.
Just like for God's sake, instead of reacting to everything, why don't we put a position out there and say, get over it. Deal with this or get over it. It's like there's a piece that I want to write that I'll probably get flamed over, which is like, you know what, people, let's grow up about abortion. I think we talked about it on the show. You know what, at some point after 40 years of it being 45 years now that it's been legal, and with the Republicans just now going after these videotapes are released, going from, oh, they're all doing all kinds of illegal things to, oh, it's just horrible what the abortion procedure is. Well, yeah, it's always been, when you get down to the nuts and bolts of how it's done, yeah. And so are a lot of medical procedures. But sometimes it's necessary to do things with the inside of your body that you wouldn't normally want to do. And it's just a fact of life. Get over it.
And that's, I want to see you put that on a hat. Because it doesn't really matter until you put it on a hat.
That's exactly right. By the way, I saw the greatest thing on Twitter. Someone tweeted to me. It's now my cover photo on Facebook. Someone made a Washington Post has a Trump hat generator.
Trump hat generator. Yeah.
Yeah. And someone made a hat for us that says, "Hate Slaw Booming Reagan." Hate Slaw. It's the Ted Cruz thing of
words. Powerful, horrible, today! Obamacare. Hate Slaw. Strangles. Unleash. Booming. Reagan.
Someone turned that into a hat, which I f***ing love. Sometimes our listeners really come through with the photoshopping. I love it. All right. Like I said, we're going to talk about Ben Carson and his reaction to the shootings, and it's typically insane.
Right.
Even though, you know, I guess this is what's really propelled him to become basically second place in all of this. Maybe even overtaking Donald Trump. I mean, there's a very real chance that Ben Carson could end up becoming the Republican nominee for president.
Wow, that would be amazing. It's just shocking, you know. It's like not thinking about death. It's inevitable, and you just don't think about it. That's how you survive. You survive by distracting yourself and not actually considering that. Hey, I'm going to die.
Right.
I'm going to die at some point.
Oh yeah.
And I've done the same thing with the Republican candidates. I put it out of my mind that one of these fucking clowns is going to be the nominee.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be one
of these idiots.
It's going to be one of these three. It's going to be Trump, Fiorina, or Ben Carson.
Wow.
Which, again, forces us to rewind back to 2008, when everyone was making fun of the fact that Barack Obama had very little government experience.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just, you know, he's only been in Senate for a few years, and before that he was a community organizer. What does he know? Well, what do any of these yahoos know? They haven't
Nothing.
Spent a second governing.
Nothing.
And again,
Trump is the laziest motherfucker on earth.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, everyone is snowed into thinking that if you ran a business like Trump and Fiorina did, to a certain extent, Ben Carson did because he was chief of neurosurgery at whatever hospital. So he was running a staff of people. So the fallacy then gets perpetuated that running a staff of people, running a business, is like running government, when it's completely not. It's completely different. That's like saying running a kindergarten class is like running the government. Or, you know, driving a bus is like running the government. It's like, no, there's no relationship whatsoever. There's people there that are involved. I get that. But there's no correlation whatsoever between how these things are actually run. You don't run the executive branch of the government like you run a business, because there are different goals and different ways that things are financed. And there's a bureaucracy. And it's da-da-da. But that's what people are snowed into thinking, that it's the same, and so therefore they're elevating these three completely incompetent people. I mean, and again, two of those three people failed in their business ventures. I mean, spectacularly. So, but then they're, you know, they're one of them is going to be the nominee. Again, I keep going back to this phrase, sleep tight, America.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take another break, back with more show right after this. Hello, Bob here. Last year, I discovered Tweaked Audio for the greatest earbuds ever, and I can honestly say I'm totally spoiled now. I can't imagine using anything else. They're quite literally the finest earbuds available. Go now to our website, bobsesca.com, and click the banner for Tweaked Audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. Tweaked Audio is about comfort and quality for every ear in a variety of colors, including natural wood grain. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise, and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. You'll like the prices, too. And if you use the code BANDC, that's BANDC, at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds, warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at bobsesca.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Oh, yes. The second half of the show today is brought to you by the bobsesca.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at bobsesca.com. We get a small commission from everything you buy. Costs you nothing extra. You go shopping, you save a bunch of money, and you help support the show. Thank you in advance. Okay. Before we get into Ben Carson, just a couple of things that I wanted to vent about. First of all, feel free to stop sending me emails and stop sending me tweets about...
Here's Bob's Facebook wall made podcast. Bob, the voice of Bob's Facebook wall.
I assume that a large majority of our listeners aren't actually friends with me on Facebook. I'm just assuming that, so they're not getting this information directly on my Facebook feed. But let me just say that just one thing about the presidential line of succession. The Speaker of the House, second in line, not third in line. This is the headline for my Salon piece from Monday morning. Kevin McCarthy is a total dope. This bumbling yahoo is about to be second in line to the presidency. Which is, I didn't write that headline, but I also wrote second in line to the presidency in the actual copy. So all I got was for like 24 hours, like, Bob, wait a minute, Bob, wait a minute. He's third in line. Don't give the wing nuts any more fuel. Like, ah, oh, my God, please. Please. You know what? Look, I'm just as guilty as anybody of having some typos in there. It happens. This is not a typo. The Speaker of the House is second in line to the presidency, not third. Third would be as if the president was also in line for his own job. And that's not the case. The president is already the president. So there are two people in line. The vice president, and then the Speaker of the House. That's two. That means second.
You were one of those people who kept correcting everybody and insisting that 2001 was actually the beginning of the new millennium, weren't you?
No, I was not. No, I didn't do that. And I wouldn't even be bringing this up if I didn't receive all these tweets from people going, nyeh, nyeh, nyeh. Why did you do that, Bob? You say second when he's actually third.
I thought it sounded weird when I read it. I'm not saying you're wrong, you're not, but I thought that it sounded weird.
Well, wouldn't it be, I mean, again, if the president is already president, would that mean the president is in line? Or is the president already president, and then the other two people are first in line and second in line? There are some people who say third in line. Well, those people, I don't mind saying, are wrong. They are very wrong. He's not third, the Speaker, Kevin, whether it's John Boehner or maybe Kevin McCarthy, second in line.
Third sounds right. I think you're being slightly pedantic. Well, but I understand. I don't give a shit enough to argue with you.
There, I have many sources that say second. Many sources.
Oh, I said, I'm not doubting that. That's technically that's correct.
Yeah,
It doesn't sound correct.
But I mean, the difference between this and the millennium stuff. Is no one was going, Bob, wait a minute. If I guess.
Oh, fuck yeah, they were. Do you not remember? Oh my God. There were like this handful of jackasses who are. Everybody's saying that 2000 is the beginning of the millennium are wrong. It's 2001 is the beginning of the millennium, and I know more than everyone. Ah, look at my big brain. Fuck you.
Yeah, but I wasn't going around saying that the millennium started in 2001. I was saying that I was with everyone else. It's 2000. Let's just say it's 2000. So I wasn't necessarily a stickler on that one, but and I wasn't pontificating in the post either. Like, so, okay, by the way, it is second. I didn't make this parenthetical statement, making sure that it's second. So I wasn't like going around underscoring that I'm right and everyone's wrong until I got challenged on it by a variety of people, and I just wanted to say, you know what, please, thank you very much, Helpy Helperton. I think I got this covered. Second in line.
You could have easily just said second in line after the vice president.
So if you're standing second in line after, well, that's true. I mean, if I want to add more words,
that would have cleared up everything.
I think we're
problem.
I think we're all grown ups, and if I say second in line, okay. So, but that, enough of that. Enough of that. Oh, just one more thing about Joe Biden. Joe Biden, I know you're listening to the show, Mr. Vice President. Don't run. Don't run for president. Joe Biden would be a mess as a candidate.
And more so than that, you made the more important point, which is that how he is as a candidate hardly matters.
Yeah.
You just don't need the clown show. You don't need one more person out there. You know, two exactly. is enough. Yeah. One of those two people will get the nom.
Oh, yeah, totally. And again, all it takes is a guy who's got, you know, one gaffe for every three Trump gaffes, or one gaffe for every three Jeb Bush gaffes, or whatever. Only has to be one, a small fraction of what the Republicans are doing. For cable news, guys like Chuck Todd and Mark Halperin, the usual suspects.
To make them sound like they're exactly alike.
Exactly alike. Exactly. I mean, they're already doing it with Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders is hardly anything like Donald Trump. He's sort of an anti-establishment character, but beyond that, there's zero similarity whatsoever.
Exactly.
But they're already saying, well, Bernie, you know, we got Donald Trump over here, Bernie Sanders over there. It's a clown show. They're all the same. But they're not. They're very, very different. But I know that Joe Biden is on that spectrum.
Biden will become a candidate and will immediately put his foot in his mouth. He'll make the he'll do an Indian voice or something like that.
Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. Sorry, Dr. Paper or Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, and that'll be it.
Right. I just that's one of my favorites, by the way.
Thank you, Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Paper, and thank you, Chancellor.
I like Biden a lot. I do, but yeah. You got to sit this one out, man.
Yeah,
you got
totally. It's just what you don't want to do at this point is to reduce the Democrats in any way, shape, or form to the level of the Republicans.
Right.
And that's all that will come out of this.
Yeah. You create chaos, and it's going to be a hell of a lot harder to win.
Yeah, totally. And again, all you need to do is put one guy out there who's this generally, I mean, okay, let's be generous to the vice president. He's often authentic, but he's also just this loose cannon who could say anything at any moment. I mean, one time he was just rambling on the stump, and he was talking about how his parents were having sex in the next. I mean, just for God's sake, we don't need any unforced errors on the Democratic side. All the Democrats need to do right now to win the presidency is to shut the F up and run through the primaries and get to next summer.
Under no circumstances should there be anything from a, like you said, an unforced error, anything from the Democrats to stand in their way, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, to stand in their way to victory.
Yep.
Because we've said this over and over about how this election's important, this election's important. This election is more than important. This upcoming election is absolutely vital.
Yeah.
Because the Republicans have lost their fucking minds. And the candidates that they have chosen, the candidates who are at the top of the heap for the Republicans, are all crazy.
Yeah. And the crap that they will try to do, if the Democrats decide that I guess everyone's playing grab ass, we'll play grab ass too. They decide that we're going to get one of these complete gomers as the next president of the United States. Trump, Fiorina, Carson, and then one of the other, single-digit guys as vice president.
The thought of Donald Trump as president is – that should send a chill down every decent person's spine.
Yeah.
That is absolutely terrifying.
But the problem is, and we've covered this on the show before, but I mean the fact of the matter is that the presidency has been demystified, making everyone believe that anyone can do it. I said, he's in front of a podium and he's saying words. So therefore, maybe he is president. I want to be like him. And I want to be president. So he's going to be president or she's going to be president. Wrong, 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 wrong. We don't want that at all. We want superheroes as president.
That's exactly it. That's what I want.
One last break, and we'll wrap up the show after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for joining us on our Tuesday show.
What Prague Nightmare are we listening to?
You say that every time I play this song. This is Genesis from Duke. Patrick Bateman's favorite Genesis album. Second favorite album.
Right. Just thought.
Yeah. Before that, they were too intellectual, too artsy. Okay. Holy crap, this news. Speaking of Carly Fiorina, her foundation, she sits on a foundation. Foundation gave $500,000, $500,000 to Planned Parenthood. The Fiorina Foundation, a charitable organization chaired by Republican presidential candidate Carly Fiorina, was found to have donated nearly $500,000 to Planned Parenthood over a two-year period. The Fiorina Foundation, run by the ACO Charitable Foundation, these effing rich sons of these wealthy sons of bitches with their foundations, they're all like tax shelters, collectively gave $467,275 to Planned Parenthood from 2011 to 2013. This revelation completely contradicts the strong stance the Fiorina has expressed against Planned Parenthood. The money doesn't come directly from Fiorina. It goes through several channels before getting to Planned Parenthood. The Fiorina Foundation isn't a real charitable organization. It's actually an account that Fiorina and her husband have with the ACO Charitable Foundation, which is a donor-advised fund. Fiorina funds the account, and ACO distributes that money on behalf of the account holders. So she doesn't have her hand directly in the donations to Planned Parenthood, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. She gave money to Planned Parenthood. What do you want? And now they're carving babies' brains as they wiggle around on the bowl.
And then eating them.
In the bowl. Did I just say they put the babies in the bowls? And then carve up their brains. Put the babies in the bowls. Carve up the brains. Okay. So, well, good. Good for Carly Fiorina. Round of applause for Carly Fiorina. Doing the right thing, giving the money to the right people. Accidentally. Okay. Let's see. Ben Mensam is...
Oh, boy.
Blazing its way across the country. Carson Mensam, Ben Mensam. By the way, Ben Carson decided to weigh in repeatedly on the...
Momentum.
What is it?
Momentum.
Weighed in a bunch of times on the Oregon shooting. Ben Carson knowing exactly what he would do in case he was in the middle of a mass shooting spree. Ben Carson said on Fox and Friends, quote, "I would not just stand there and let him shoot me. I would say, hey guys, everybody attack him. They may shoot me, but he can't get us all." He really said that.
Remember, please, that this is a doctor who apparently understands nothing about how the human body works.
Right.
About what happens when every single ounce of adrenaline floods your system. He's and like, you basically stand there scared shitless.
Good God. He said he would be in that situation. A guy would be shooting people, gun, like bullets flying all around, people screaming, smoke in the air, just mass chaos, people dropping dead. And Ben Carson would say, Hey guys, look, there's a guy shooting people. Everybody, let's attack him. He may shoot me, but he can't get us all. And then everyone goes, just everyone falls asleep. So maybe that's like the best thing. Maybe like Ben Carson is the best person to have around during a mass shooting.
Absolutely.
Because
in case of emergency, break Ben Carson. Break glass. Take out your Ben Carson.
The shooter falls asleep. All the people fall asleep. Like the authorities come walking in here and go, wow, everyone's... oh, wait, they're just sleeping. Ben Carson. Oh, Ben Carson, thank you for putting everybody to sleep. Okay, yeah, welcome. Welcome, authorities. All right. I'm Dr. Ben Carson. I'm running for president. Gonna say, give you a little bit of this. Shh. Gonna shush you a little bit. Shh. Everyone here is asleep. All the people, even the shooter. Shooter's over there. He's sound asleep on his arsenal.
Right there. I got a great idea. I know how to fix the shooting problem. Just give everybody gas masks.
Give everybody gas. Yeah.
And after a certain point, you just like pump the whole building full of like Halon or something.
That's right. Or as like Donald Trump said, Donald Trump referred to people who commit these mass murders as geniuses.
Yeah.
They're geniuses.
Yeah. Yeah, they're geniuses, and of course that means that they, you know, that they, you just can't beat them. You're never gonna outsmart them.
Never gonna outsmart them.
Like you said, like they're Batman villains.
They're exactly Ben. Like Donald Trump thinks all these mass shooters are Batman villains with like masked henchmen.
They're usually fucking idiots.
Right.
Eric Harris was a very smart kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly serial killers and other people who have way too much intelligence for their own good. They're just mentally disturbed on top of that. The thing is, though, you don't want to go around as the front runner for president and say, yeah, you know, all these shooters, they're just terrific. They're terrific people. They're geniuses.
They're fabulous people.
They've got big, beautiful brains. They're like Batman villains. They're going to fill the town with green laughing gas, giant balloons.
They're all Lex Luthor.
They're all Lex Luthor. That's what these kids remind me of. Lex Luthor. Yes, please. By all means, let's give them big heads. Pump them up as being super geniuses. Ben Carson thinks, though, that he wouldn't just stand there and let them shoot him. He's someone who's like popping off rounds from an AR-15.
Ben Carson is, for the first time in his life, going to spring into action.
Oh my God! For the first time ever, I think I almost snarfed my coffee on the show.
Yeah,
good Lord!
Because you could just see that. Because Ben, how long have we been listening to and watching Ben Carson? Now he looks like the type of man who really just springs into action. He's like a steel trap. That one.
Oh man, you know what? I'm like a spider monkey. I'm just gonna come right at you. Be nothing but fists and teeth flying all over. Gonna throw down and smack you right in the face before you get off a single round. Look at me go. I'm Dr. Ben Carson. You can call me Mr. Energy, Mr. Lightning. Coming right at you. Here I come. Well, hang on a second. I just had a funny thought. Well, think about that thought for a second.
He puts himself to sleep. God, Ben Carson. That's so freaking offensive, though. It really is.
Yes, it is. Of course it is.
You know what I would do? I love it when people say that. Trust me, bitch, you have no idea what you would do.
Right.
No idea whatsoever.
Yep.
They live in this fantasy world where they get to be heroes. I'd be packing a gun and I'd shoot that guy right between the eyes. Yes, mm-hmm. In your fucking fantasy.
Yeah.
The truth is, you have, unless you have unbelievable amounts of extensive and detailed training, you don't know what the hell you're going to do.
Right, and
that's
even
why you train people like that, so that when everything goes to shit, that's what they fall back on.
Yeah.
They fall back on that, and it kicks in instantly. If you don't have that, you don't have anything to fall back on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Just it's stupid. It's mindless bravado. Saying, yeah, you know what. It's just a bunch of excuse making, really, what it is. It's just, I mean, he's basically cupping Wayne LaPierre's shriveled old man balls in his hand. Give him a little scratch, give him a little tickle. That's all he's doing. He's fucking just shilling for the NRA. Has nothing to do with any sort of realistic idea with regards to disarming a gunman in a mass shooting situation. Has nothing to do with that. Has everything to do with backstopping the NRA, making sure that we don't focus on guns, making sure that we focus on the fact that, oh yeah, Dr. Ben Carson, the most soporific man in the world, is going to disarm a mass shooter. Rally a bunch of other people to help him do it. And he's not going to be diving behind the nearest barricade. Right. Ben Carson also said this week that we should be arming kindergarten teachers. He said, if I had a little kid in kindergarten somewhere, I would feel much more comfortable if I knew On that campus, there was a police officer or somebody who was trained with a weapon. If the teacher was trained in the use of that weapon and had access to it, I'd be much more comfortable if they had one than if they didn't.
Jesus. You know,
what could possibly go wrong?
With a teacher. God damn it. When we've reached a point in the length of our country, in the history of our country, that the people who teach our children have to be armed.
Yeah.
There's something fucking wrong with us.
Very, very wrong. Yeah.
And to somehow believe that that's okay, that's all right, that makes you a monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, logistically, let's think about this for just a quick
second.
There's
something wrong with us if our teachers have to be armed. And to not address that and to instead look at it and go, oh, that's just the way it is. Yeah, I'd feel comfortable that way. You're fucking nuts.
The NRA is so sacrosanct that we have to, instead of having sensible gun regulations, we have to instead arm kindergarten teachers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's insane. That is creating a shrine, this unnecessary shrine around a single amendment in the Constitution. But we have to protect this at all costs and have no compromise on it whatsoever, even though we can compromise on every other part of the goddamn Constitution. No compromise on this one. Instead, let's arm the kindergarten teachers. That makes a lot of sense. What could possibly go wrong there? A gun in a kindergarten class that is readily accessed. I mean, the teacher would have to have access to it quickly in a mass shooting situation, you know. Guy barges into the classroom, starts firing off. Is the teacher going to be able to get out a key off of the thing and go up to the glass and get the gun out of the... No. It's got to be accessible. And if it's accessible, then it's also accessible by the kids.
If it's accessible, then you get the 11-year-old who shot and killed the 8-year-old.
Exactly.
With which the teacher, happened, what, 2 days ago?
Exactly. And with the teacher's gun, like we see time and time again. I was charting it throughout 2013, 2014, all of the babies killing other babies. It happens every goddamn day.
Did you see the story about, honestly, I feel bad for not knowing exactly where it is. I think it's Kentucky or something like that, which is not a surprise to me at all, about the kid who shot his sister, the 5-year-old kid who shot his 2-year-old sister, with his, this will sound familiar to you, his cricket rifle. Remember,
oh, that's
my first rifle?
Yeah, my first rifle.
So he shoots and kills his sister. And they interview the mom, and the mom says, well, you know what? This was God's will, and she's up in heaven now.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. God's will. Stupid,
yeah,
well, stupid
perfect
people.
For that, by the way. That's what the sad trombone is actually saying. God's will. That's perfect. That's just perfect.
Also,
I want that on a hat.
Also, Ben Carson this week said, taking away guns is more devastating than a body with bullet holes. So, what we're being told by the would-be frontrunner for the GOP nomination, second place, is that
it's more important for us to have our guns than it is for you to have your kids being alive.
Exactly. That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said.
I want to see, like, Trump in a active shooter situation. I get this feeling he'd be like Ellis in Die Hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
trying
totally.
To make a deal and hopefully, if all goes well, taking a bullet in the head for it.
Ben Carson said, there is no doubt that this senseless violence is breathtaking. Maybe improper use of breathtaking.
Yeah, exactly. But well said. Literally, breathtaking. Yeah.
But I never saw a body with bullet holes that was more devastating than taking the right to arm ourselves away. Okay, never mind the abortion of the English language that was that statement. But that is madness.
Yeah, and that is, that's where we are. It's madness. This country is just buried, sunken deep underneath the sea of madness.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, again, making a sensible series of gun laws that, again, even if you were to acquiesce entirely to the Second Amendment, make a series of gun laws that give nods to the Second Amendment. Even that, according to Ben Carson, is more devastating than 20 dead kindergartners in a classroom. Think about this. This is a form of fealty to a consumer product unlike we have ever seen in recent memory, other than, say, the iPhone. I mean, there's a lot of loyalty to the iPhone. But this is with guns. Guns. iPhone doesn't kill anybody. It just spies on you like Edward Snowden.
That's right. Y'all know. You got to be careful about that.
All right. The Postmortem Show is next. Get it at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And we'll see you over there. Thank you for supporting us at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Okay. Take care, folks. We'll see you on the Thursday show. Bye-bye.